Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is linking works together. He's helping people who obey Him do simultaneous works. Only the Holy Spirit can do such a thing. The things He put on your heart to do, even if it seems small, is working together with the other works that He's simultaneously doing. Like never before, the Lord is moving by His Spirit. He's getting ready to come back, to return. And we're going to see some things happen that we've never seen before. You know, the people in every move of God, there were always greater miracles going on. In the charismatic movement, that was in the early 80s, when people started receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the 80s and early 90s, the Holy Spirit, people were receiving the Holy Spirit in traditional denominational churches and Catholic churches, and you know, TBN was thriving, so people were getting knowledge, and people talked of greater miracles happening. My pastor even saw a man's leg grow during a healing crusade. He said he saw it with his own eyes. He went to the front just to see it. He saw the man. He wanted to be right in the middle of it. And people have told me the greater works of God that they've seen happen. Testimonies of creative miracles, God creating people's limbs and eyes. I think the strangest thing I ever heard of, a man had an elbow replaced. And the Lord healed his elbow. And they said that he woke up and the titanium elbow that they put in his arm was laying beside him, and his elbow was back to normal, bone and all, just like it was when he was born. The Lord can do these great wonders. And wherever there's faith, you're going to find the move of God. Now, the Lord gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. When people allow pride in their life, that's not God's perfect will. God and pride don't mix. Whenever there's pride, the Holy Spirit won't see the greater works. They'll see, you know, the things that will guide a man to repentance. They may see that. They may hear about the greater works. But just like in days of old, when God would move, when people were here that were full of pride, they get angry. And the Holy Spirit, He rests upon those who love Him. And if the church will follow God and fall in love with Him and be sincere, remember the highest form of sincerity is faith. When they love the genuine principles of God, that attracts the Holy Spirit. And that's when you'll see the greater moves of God. Now the Lord wants to do things for everybody, but He can't. There are people who will get angry because God heals somebody or enable them to see again. They expected that person to die. In their mind, they love their pride. And they love what they understand already. They love this world. Whenever people fall in love with this world, they become the enemy of the life of God. The Pharisees didn't want Jesus around. They despised the fact that He healed the sick, raised the dead, and He taught the poor. They wanted God to come back and show himself strong in their behalf, in their pride. But God is not like Pharaoh. God is not proud. God is good. And from the after the days of slavery, in the when God's people were delivered out of Egypt, they never learned. Most of them never learned to trust God. A few people in every generation learned to trust God. In the worst days, in the days of Jezebel, you know, I would say Jeroboam's days were the worst, but the worst came after Jeroboam, because they grew weaker and weaker, and their hearts grew harder and harder. And in the days of Jezebel and Ahab, that was bad. She had a plot to murder the prophets of God. And she would stir up Ahab to murder God's people. There are still people that way now. But we live in a country where it's against the law for people to murder people. But in other countries, people are beheading Christians now. There is a hatred against Christianity now. Even after all these years, and we've seen the marvelous works of God, great nations have been built, and many nations have been greatly strengthened. See, the people of God that love God, they're always the core that holds things together. Without Christianity, the earth would have been destroyed a long time ago. But where there's faith, there's a move of God. Where there's faith, people that will willingly obey God with dedication, they'll see his great handiwork. And our God, our Lord is looking for people that he can move in and unite and work through. Now, he's not going to unite the church, the proud, with the humble. The word of God resists the proud. The word of God will resist the proud. God will resist the proud. The Holy Spirit will not guide the proud. And the only message he has for them is to repent. But the way pride works, if you give yourself to it, it will cause you to rebel against repenting. And rebel against everything that pertains to life and godliness. Some people would rather die than be healed by God. And they don't believe, because they don't believe it. The word says, lay hands on no man suddenly. That means we need to be guided by the Lord in all forms of ministry. In every form of ministry, be guided by the Lord. I said in the other broadcast how I ended talking about how years ago, about 10 years ago, I guess, and beyond that, I would minister to some friends, pastors, and people that I knew that were Christians. If they love God, if they had a heart to know him, the Lord would always cause me to say more than I expected to say. It would be amazing. We had church in our front yard sometime, or wherever we were. But then I was around those that I thought were, you know, they were pastors, friends of mine. If they had any love for the world or any form of, sometimes they just didn't want what the Lord had to say. And it's like the Lord took all the revelation he had taught me recently and put it in a suitcase and zipped it up. And when I leave that presence and I'm on my way home again, it'll all come back. And it's just, you know, it puzzled me. I didn't know why this would happen. But the Lord resists the proud. He always has. He always does. He always will. So in ministry, you have to look at him. The way we minister to people, we have to look to the Lord. The Lord knows what people are capable of and what they will do. Now, in parts of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, it talks about people stealing God's word, prophets that would steal God's word. They had no relationship of their own, and they would listen to a true prophet like Jeremiah or Ezekiel or either Isaiah and steal the word and act like God told them. That's going on now. People that have drifted and gotten over into pride, the Holy Spirit won't, he's not going to give them a message like he will a person that loves them. And since they have a reputation of loving God and being a minister, if they backslid, they put that minister's mask on and they act the part. But the whole while, they're like that, like Peter said in chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, they're ravening wolves. See, the church has internal enemies just like Israel did. We have external enemies just like Israel did. The Holy Spirit deals with the truth. When people are not honest, when they're not honest in their way, God is still honest in his way. And he can't build on a weak foundation. Our God is foundational. He won't do it. That's unwise to build a ministry when there are worldly ways and people won't repent. Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. He's going to turn to them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me. And they're going to talk about all the wonderful works they did, the people, the way they preached and rebuked devils and worked miracles. Understand, the Lord will work a miracle to help people, even through people that are not right with him. If people don't repent, the Ugandan pastor is a prime example. The Lord let him know that something was wrong. And he found out that he was not right with the Lord. And if the Lord had done the rapture, he would have left him. And when you YouTube this and watch the Ugandan pastor, you're going to see what I'm talking about. And he talked about, Lord, you work miracles in the ministry. And the Lord showed him, I did that because I love the people. Not because you were right with me. See, but the revelation of God, God's not going to give people revelation and they're proud. He's going to resist the proud. But knowing the man would repent, he exposed to him a problem. And many people have drifted. And this is God's great mercy. He found a man that was not walking right with him. And he kept seeking the Lord though. But he didn't repent from his way. And then the Lord showed him himself and what needed to happen. And then he repented. And then he talked about it. And the Lord did it in a way to wake people up. Because people can be lost in deception and not know that they have drifted from the principles of God. If you know you're doing something wrong and the Holy Spirit don't convict you anymore, that's the time to go and pray and get right with God. Because if you do things wrong, if you lust out the women, if anything that's not right, if you're doing it and you feel no conviction, that's a sign to you that something is not right. And you need to check it out. But if it be far from you to desire the things of the world and you stay in God's presence, that's different. And God has given you revelation, and he's blessing you. You still have a relationship with him. Thank God for it. But if you know you can sin and there's no consequences, remember something. The world is the world. They can do whatever they want to. They don't feel any conviction. They don't feel anything from the Holy Spirit because they are out there They're not subject to the rules of God. But we are. And I want to be. And if I'm not doing something right, I want my heart to smite me. I want my heart to know that you are off track. That way I can repent. If I say something wrong, I try not to. I try to do everything according to his will, some things that he'll be pleased with. To let people know that this is right. Live the standard of God. And when you do that, then the Lord will rest on you. You want to live a life that attracts the Holy Spirit. I do. I want the Lord. I don't want to hear him say, well done, just then. I want him to be pleased with my life now. I'll deal with the future tomorrow. But now, I want this day, I want to fulfill his will this day. I want to please him now. Right now. If there's something that I can change, that's not to his favor, I want it changed. I want to fully represent God to the best of my ability with all the wisdom and knowledge he's given me. I want to live according to his wonderful grace. And I want to represent him right. And I know that my life is probably not picture perfect. But I want it to be. I just don't want to do anything that will grieve the Holy Spirit. I may not be the master of being early for the places I have to be. I might not be the smartest person in the world. That's all right. I may not even be the best at what I do, but I do want to honor God. At least I can honor him. He's given me the power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. He's given me power over sin. He's given me a brand new spirit. I can renew my mind and do right. Well, that's what I want to do. I don't want to let things that should be done go undone. And I don't want to live a life that grieves the Holy Spirit. I want to live a life that honors him because he's good. And the Lord is for us. He's not against us. But he is against sin. And he always will be against sin. And I'm not afraid of sin. I'm not afraid that I will do wrong. I just want to make sure I do things that please him. Because the Lord wants to build on, he builds on a solid, firm foundation. Our God is wise. And the way we live and conduct ourselves in ministry and in life, the people who are blessed by us, the people who the Lord used us to be a blessing to, they pattern themselves after what they see. When people admire you, they'll do what you do. Whatever you do. They'll condone what you condone. And they're persuaded to. Children, they do what they see their parents do. They solve problems like they see their parents solve problems. It's in their logic. It's in their way of thinking. And it gets in their choices. Even if they don't like it. And the only way to undo the bad things is to receive God's word and do God's word. And then you can live beyond the traps that your parents were in. And if they did good and wonderful, you can do even better. And the life of God is designed for the next generation to do much better the things that their parents did. They should do it better and they should do it faster. Because they were able to learn more at a much younger age, which gave them a strong advantage. And I love God. I love His word and His will. I love His people. And I don't ever want to go back to things that don't work. I desire for my life to grow stronger and stronger like it should. The best way to take advantage of every opportunity the Lord gives us is to live that foundational life in Him. And I thank God for that. Now we're back in I'm going to take a little detour. We're going to go back to Revelation, the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And we made it to the church at Smyrna. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith he, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And in this part, we're showing how the Holy Spirit manifested Himself, from the seven spirits, the seven different spirits listed in Isaiah 11, in the ministry of Jesus to the church. Remember, everything that we teach, everything Jesus teach, the Holy Spirit working through us, this is the way He does it. Like in, He said, unto the angel of the church at Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which is Jesus, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Now this is Jesus is saying that by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of knowledge, because He's talking about facts. He's talking about something that has already happened. When you minister, the Lord will show you things, and you'll speak about what you know. You'll speak about facts that have happened. All right. So whenever there's knowledge involved, that's the Holy Spirit manifests Himself by the Spirit of knowledge. And then He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, when Jesus first addressed them, He said unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. This is Jesus talking, because He died for us. And I believe the church, now He was speaking to a church there in John's day, that the church of Smyrna, but it represented a period of time, and I believe after the apostles started dying out. And I judge that way because of what He said. They already had strength against Satan. They had resilience against evil, against Satan. The church at Smyrna, they had a resilience against Satan. Now I know that by the time John wrote them, in their time, they were some of the disciples, some of the apostles had already died out, because John was very old. He was like the last one, I believe, to die. And whenever you have, there were those that walked with Jesus, they knew authority. They knew they had authority over the enemy, and they taught this congregation. And they had resilience against the evil satanic works that were there. But Jesus said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, they were able, they had works, and God said, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, But they were rich because they continued to do God's will, even in times of opposition. They were not in poverty because they were lazy. They were in poverty because of warfare. They were the enemy worked against them. See, the Dark Ages came. It was a time when Satan had a stronghold, and he developed another religion to alter the power of God, to reduce people from being Christians. People that love the world hate God. I'm sorry, they just do. They have no use for God. They don't like him. They want to be in charge of everything. And they have no rest. So their thing is conquest. And there's no peace to the wicked, and the wicked will get up to do something against somebody that loves God. They'll go out of their way. And the enemy is giving them a dark logic. All right, so here we are in Smyrna, and the Lord is warning them. First he said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. It's a reality check. People are out there that hate the logic of God. It has creeped into the church. It started back then. This opposition, we first see it in the Jews were supposed to give the whole world an illustration of who God is. But they went rogue. God had to blind them. But there's a remnant of people that did it anyway. And now, because the Jews wouldn't do right, God had a plan B, which he always has an alternate plan. He saved Gentiles and put there were people in every nation that would love God's word. And they still exist. There are people that will love God and they will seek him. They will push forth to learn things. They will reach forth to learn all the knowledge of God they can. Not in a conquest form, but in a pure form. They love the heart of God. They are the people. You are the people that will do the mighty works of God. Never judge what God will do through you by what other people have done. Some people have given in to cold religion. Some people won't ever reach forth and do better. There are some Christians, they love God, they know they love God, but they're not going to reach forth and learn the greater things to go forward. But there are people who will. And those are the people that God, they're going to see the mighty works of God. They're going to be foundational people that God can build on. Because people, when they see you, and you minister the word of God and they partake of it and they hear it, they expect it in their lives. But they do what you do because they haven't been trained in the word yet. So that's why the Lord blinded Israel. They kept going back into bondage. They kept going back like the other nations. They kept getting in forms of idolatry and witchcraft and sorcery. And burning their children, offering their own blood, their own children to Molech. And that had nothing to do with the plan of God. Moses, he taught, if anything, he taught against that. It was wrong and it was evil. But they didn't care. Other nations did it. We'll do it too. And so they became, Isaiah had to blind them so that they can't understand Christ. Isaiah 28 shows us how it's going to be. A man that has learned is going to say, it's sealed. I can't understand it. And then he'll take the book to a person that's not learned. And he'll read it and say, I'm not learned. I can't understand it either. But there are Gentiles that do understand because they're not blind. God blinded the Israelites because of their rebellion. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to people who love God. Christian people don't love God the same. Some are deceived. Some are lazy. And some people just have the heart of God. They want to know God. But everybody, if they desire to, they can know God. God wants to be known. And he gave us a rich salvation. He gave us a brand new spirit. We have that love in us. Now, Jesus once said that those that have been forgiven much, they love much. And that's true. I may not have done some of the things that others, I've heard testimonies where people did many things that I wouldn't do. I said, now they probably gonna love God more than me because they did more. I said, now Lord, I may not have done some of the things, I'm not bragging, but I want to know how to love you much, like others may love you much. I said, teach me how to love your people. And I started appreciating the handiwork of Jesus. He died, he bled for me. He died for me. By his stripes, I'm healed. And there were times I wasn't motivated to receive my healing, to reach forth and learn about how to be healed. My body's usually in pretty good shape, but there would be things like my sinuses or something. I mean, sometimes I just rather pray about something else. But I said, I can't do that. Jesus paid a high price for my healing. I'm going to learn to be healed. So I started asking the Lord about healing, just like I asked him how to love his people. I was very motivated to learn how to overcome forms of temptation and lust, things that hold you back. I wanted to exterminate all that foolishness out of my life. I didn't want it's not that I did. I didn't want it in my thought life. I wanted my thought life to be just as pure as the life I was attempting to live. And I wanted to live according to Christ's word. I didn't want there to be a woman on earth that I would lust after. And I asked the Lord to teach me how to do it. And the same thing about healing and other things. Now, I'm out of time again, but the Lord is not. He's going to continue to move in your life. And we're going to look at Smyrna again and how, in the other churches, how the Holy Spirit addressed.